My name is Adam Welch. I've been bartending for over 10 years in the heart of the Napa Valley, always sourcing the most local, sustainable ingredients.
My name's James. I just like to drink.
Adam.
James.
Bar stories.
What'd you say?
Bar stories.
I thought you said something else.
Do it again.
I always read about my...
Okay, lock it up, James. I'm just kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 8 of Bar Stories. My name is Adam. To my left, James, as always.
What's up, everybody?
And our guest today is Doralise Handel, also known as the Cheese Lady.
Yes, the Cheese Lady.
You're kind of a local celebrity, if you don't know.
I know. The mayor, the godfather, the Cheese Lady, that girl that we knew. Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure.
And there's nobody really knows my name, and nobody knows how to say my name.
They just say the Cheese Lady.
Say the whole thing. Ready?
Doralise Taborelli Handel.
Ooh.
That's better than... What's your background? Where are you from?
Otherwise, people call me Doralise, and they ask me if I can get them a reservation at Capofina. So, and I say no.
See, in Mexico, my name's James. Well, I'm James, but in Mexico, I'm James.
James. Jaime.
Jaime, but that's also a girl's name too, right? That's Jamie, right?
No, but no.
It looks like Jamie.
But is James Jamie in Mexico?
No.
No.
I don't know.
There are no Jamie girls in Mexico.
There's not? Because no. I took Spanish
Jaime,
one.
But Jaime, James is J-A-I-M-E.
Oh, okay.
And women would be J-M-I-E.
I know Adam is Adan.
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 Oh, yeah, Adan.
Adan. Adan. Adan. Adan Giovanni.
So what's your background? Where's your family from? Where are you from? Tell me the story.
Our people are from Palestine and Italy. So a little oil and vinegar.
Okay.
Italian.
We're Christian Palestinians that emigrated to Central America and South America. I was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, randomly, because my mom went into labor in New Mexico during summer vacation.
So but she was on vacation. She was on vacation.
She was visiting her mom, my grandmother, in Albuquerque, and then she had me. And so they stayed in New Mexico for about 30 days, and then went back to Ecuador where they were living. My parents are not Ecuadorian; they're American that lived in Ecuador.
Whoa!
So what were they doing there?
They were running a textile factory that my dad had taken over from another great uncle who had moved to Ecuador from Palestine. So. My parents raised me and my sister, and my sister was born in Ecuador, but we lived in Ecuador for the first part of my life.
And so your sister's older than you?
She's younger. She's 4 years younger.
Okay.
So I was born in Albuquerque, and then they went back to Ecuador and were living there. A couple of years later, they had my sister.
Wow.
And then my parents divorced, and my mom brought me and my sister back to Albuquerque. We stayed with my grandparents, Italian side. But then kept going back to Ecuador. So
my
life was Ecuador, New Mexico, until I went to college in New York.
Huh, I wonder why they kept going to Albuquerque. Because I've been to Albuquerque, and it's not like...
Well, my Italian grandfather was part of the original team that helped create the atomic bomb.
Whoa.
Okay.
You just dropped a bomb on us.
So, but he wasn't part of the chemist. He was part of the people that the military, the Air Force, and the Navy that lured people to New Mexico to volunteer to stand in the fields and take the radiation, and then they would monitor how the radiation would affect the human body.
How do you talk somebody into doing that job?
And they didn't tell them what exactly it was. They just told them it was a top secret project.
Oh, we're talking about 19... Where are we at?
1945, 1944...
That's crazy.
43, 46, yeah.
And so a lot of people attribute
and
like...
in the 50s when they were really aggressive about...
Yeah, because nuke testing, you always think like Nevada, but Albuquerque and New Mexico was big, right?
Well, the Air Force there and the base was huge and very... There were a lot of top secret areas and a lot of mines were built within the mountains. I can't actually... I have to kill you both now that I've told you all of this.
Thank God.
Oh, my God.
I've been waiting for a reason.
But all that sort of stuff came out much later that, of course, obviously, they had to figure out how to test all of this. And
they got to do it somewhere.
Basically did it out there in those fields, and people would volunteer to go out there, you know, and do this for their country.
That's wild.
And then they would monitor it. And my grandfather was one of the few mathematicians that worked and engineers that worked that was not actually out in the field ever. So he was protected and he died of old age. But a lot of the other scientists there didn't really make it. So they were living there and they were retiring there. And so when my parents divorced, we went back to Albuquerque.
Wow.
Because that's where my mother's family was.
So then how did
randomly.
You end up...
But it's Albuquerque. Yes, it's flat and wide.
It's Albuquerque.
Yeah.
So then how did you end up in New York?
I went to... So my parents are both randomly from New York, but they met in New Mexico. But my dad's family still was in New York. And so I, when I was a junior year in high school, I decided to go back to Ecuador and have my junior year be high school in Ecuador. And I went down and then I decided I wanted to go to college near a big city because I love being in cities. So I applied to a college an hour outside of New York City because I figured if you're going to go to a city, it should be Manhattan. So yeah. I applied and I went to Manhattanville College for 4 years in New York, which is how I ended up in New York. And then I was near all my family members and spent a lot of time in New York City. And that was a really wonderful time. Love New York City.
I bet. Yeah.
And then I have a bone disorder and I have hollow bones. I have no calcium in my bones. So I break
like no calcium.
No calcium.
And so the drink milk doesn't.
Yeah,
doesn't
and it's
take
ironic
it
that I sell
doesn't,
cheese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See the sweet irony.
Yeah, I don't...
Milk
it does
doesn't
not,
do a body good.
It doesn't do... It, I don't... I can drink gallons of milk and it won't absorb into my system. And I can't take pills for it, and it's a genetic condition. So my mother has the same condition. We have one particular type of the condition that they have never really done any research on because there aren't enough of us with the type for them to merit money towards it.
So it's a hereditary thing then.
So yeah. But then there's...
And the percentage, what's the percentage? Do you know the percentage of people that have this disease?
Well, they have numbers and they have the types. So which is that how they figured out what type we actually had.
But it's like 0.00.
Yeah, there's like maybe 20,000 cases in the United States of this condition.
Wow.
In general. And the most extreme condition is with small children. And that's what they research because everybody loves kids. They don't love adults.
No, once you become an adult, we don't give a
fuck.
No,
once you're an adult,
right?
We're like, sorry, we can't help you. But luck. You're a kid. You're yeah. so adorable. So we're going to help save you. So we don't, I mean, I'm sure that I could do some more in-depth research. I know one other person with art. She has a more extreme type, but she's an adult. So grew up into an adult body. And she lives in Santa Rosa and randomly has my doctor as her doctor.
And when were you diagnosed? Was it like later in life? Or
no,
early? Oh,
at
birth.
So my mother went in for just the general OB check when she was pregnant with me. And it was the Ecuadorian doctor who actually figured it out. And so she didn't know that she had this bone condition. All her life, they just said she was weak and she's always breaking her legs and snapping her bones. And they just figured she was a frail child. So we don't actually even have any record of any other family members with this condition. And then when she was pregnant with me, the OB in Ecuador randomly had worked with babies that had this condition. So he did the test and he found that she had it and that I was going to have it. So they were basically preparing for my birth based on the fact that I was going to be born with this condition.
Wow. Can I ask you how many times you've broken a bone?
Many, many times.
More than you can count? Or
70.
Wow.
Times.
Is it just like doing everyday stuff? Yeah. Like, wow.
And like different parts, like leg, arm.
Legs, wrists. I have all kinds of awesome scars. Like this scar, people think that I tried to kill myself, but I'm like an inch away from the vein.
So from our listeners, it's a long
It's a long
line, basically.
But it's over here.
It looks like a suicide mark.
It looks like I tried to commit suicide, but I really screwed up because it's way over here.
So you broke your wrist and then they had to...
So I fell on my wrist backwards like this and I was bracing myself. And so it snapped the hand from the arm. So there's a whole plate with screws and thread, basically, holding my hand to my arm.
If you were a chef, though, you know, that'd be, like, super cool. It's like a chef tattoo is when you have, like, scars all over your arms.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you more badass.
It is pretty funny. Like, I worked in kitchens for many years, and I have all kinds of random scars all over my body. And people are like, What did you do here? I'm like, well, this one. And they're like, okay, we're not going to piss you off anymore. We're just, you do whatever you need to do, Dorlise.
It's a tough check.
You just, yeah. Yeah. It all messed with me. And that was it. You know, I worked in restaurants for many years and never broke my bones. I've traveled all over the world alone and have never had an accident. But then I go and I trip at a friend's house and I shatter my knee.
Ooh.
So it's just, I think it's, my doctor was like, well, you're basically, your body probably has tons of fissures and hairline fractures. And then basically when you break something, it's that fracture has just had too much.
So you live with like normal breaks. Like, so my left wrist, I broke a lot of bones growing up. So my left arm, I've broken 6 times.
Yeah.
I broke my collarbone. I broke my eye bone. Ooh. But my situation is not, well, I got hit by a water balloon. At like, you know, those like water balloon. Okay.
Socket?
So you know those water balloon launchers where it like takes 3 people to like pull back.
Oh.
So
hit you in the face.
Okay. My friends are assholes.
So you were just standing there trying to figure out how they were doing it wrong.
All right. So they were aiming at my other friend. He was standing in front of me.
Oh my God.
All I know is he ducked really fast. I was like 20 yards from these fucking dickheads, and they pummeled me right in the eye bone.
Ouch.
And both my eyes were bleeding.
Oh my God.
I mean, it sounds like a joke. You're like, what happened to your face? I'm like, I got hit by a water balloon? Yeah, but a velocity of like 9,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's so funny.
And it happened on Mother's Day. So my mother's like, I have a concussion. They're like, I remember being in the hospital, and they're like, I think his eye's going to fall back in his head. I remember them saying that.
Oh my God.
But anyways, my troubles are not comparable to you at all. But I just remember like and probably what you did is you kind of adapted to like, okay.
Yeah, I live a very like, 'cause
I've known you a long time,
strange
here
you know,
and there. But
yeah, when
I've
I
never
break
seen you
things,
in a cast.
Yeah, when I break no, I when I broke this, they had to fix it. You know, they had to
your wrist,
surgery.
Yeah.
But that accident was ridiculous because I was loading a truck at a storage unit in Marin because I used to have an import company. So I had all my imports, like the non-perishables, in the storage unit. And I had to move all that crap to Oakland. So my dad and I are loading up his truck, but it's pouring rain for some random reason in Marin on a day that was not, you know, was sunny before when we left San Francisco, and then suddenly it was pouring rain. It was like kismet. So we're loading the truck, and then he throws the cord over the truck so I can tie it down, and I back up over the tire guard, and I backwards with the left leg, and I land with my knee on top of my ankle, you know, like backwards. I bend my left leg backwards. I tear all the ligaments in my left leg, and I spring the left leg out. So then I land, and then I'm trying to brace myself with the left wrist, and that's when I break the left wrist. And somehow in the midst
so
of this klutzy shenanigans, I break my right toe. So when I get to the emergency room, the doctor, then he's like, look.
Did you get hit by a car?
You're pretty pathetic. And you're going to have to come up with like an actual story that people will believe, even if you're full of shit. Like you were skiing and you were like cross country and you hit the street and you just kept skiing. And that's what happened. Or you were training for the Olympics, you know, and that's how you ended up breaking. Because we don't want to explain that you were basically like an Isle of Lucy episode, still holding onto the cord from the truck and all the crap in the truck. And
Lucy,
the rain,
you got some explaining to
but
do.
I've had a lot of really strange accidents like that where it's like, oh, I slipped on this marble sidewalk in Manhattan. I was already recovering from my right leg accident back in 1994. And I slipped in the rain, and I landed. I threw my right leg out because I don't want to re-break it, but I landed on my tailbone, and I shattered my tailbone in 4 places.
Oh, my God.
But the first person that came out of the bank building that I had fallen in front of was the insurance adjuster, and she wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to sue the building for having the red marble in the middle of 57th Street.
And you're like, no, but I'm in a lot of pain.
No, but can you also call? And then, of course, that was... And the stories are endless.
I was
going
to say, it was 70 broken bones.
Well,
I mean,
that one was 4 hairline fractures, but it was my butt. So there's nothing you can do with that. So they load me up into the ambulance, and the EMT starts flirting with my friend who I was hanging out with that day. So then they end up hooking up.
She did air quotes, by the way. She said hanging out with. Well, I saw her do that.
We were hanging out. No, we were not hooking up. This college girlfriend of mine, and I'm meeting with her lunch.
I'm just trying to get
I know. So we're hanging out. We're going to lunch.
She did
I slip
it again.
And I land
She's
my
air
ass.
Quoted again.
There's
hanging
another
out. We're on her lunch break, but we're drinking. You get it. Yeah. So then we end up in the ambulance, and the EMT and her hook up while I'm getting driven to Bellevue.
All right, what?
And wow. Then
love at first sight.
Yeah. And then we get to Bellevue, and then it's like a whole other, you know, it's just it's the exact same day when this guy gets shot by an undercover cop. And so then, you know, Mayor Giuliani ends up in the hospital and I'm there and I'm next to the guy that shot everybody. So he's handcuffed to the bed. I mean, that's my life. That's wow. Like, what? And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I just broke my ass, but you killed some people on the subway.
Well, I mean, on the plus side, I guess you get to meet a lot of new people.
I do.
All right.
I do. Anyway, so that's the bone problem. But how did I get here? Oh, yes. I broke my leg and then I was in college in New York and then I ended up out here. That's
what'd you
crazy.
Go to college for?
I went to college. That's like saying prison. What'd you go to college for, man?
Hey, man. I don't. Yeah, what are you in for? Mathematics.
I'm in a liberal arts school for. Yeah. I went for English and Italian.
Nice.
Did you want to be a teacher? I mean, yeah. Why would you? Yeah, because
why
people,
would you do that? Because I got in wasting, and I didn't think I was going to get money? Into college. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get into college, but I went for English. So I studied English, and I thought I was going to be a teacher or a writer, which is the dreamer perspective of college. And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to be a writer. I'll be a teacher.
There you go.
No, I got to go for more school. No, I'm going to go to culinary school then.
Then cheese started calling.
And then I go up to California. Yeah.
It's cheese.
Yeah. Hello. You never called me. It's Taleggio.
We should be together.
We should be together. I'm Gruyere.
Gruyere's a bitch.
Gruyere is, well.
It's left me. I had one date with Gruyere and it left me.
Yeah. We don't have
dump
any.
Me.
We don't have any cheese here, but you did
bring
us some sausage.
I didn't bring
sausage.
Any cheese. I thought about
some
bringing you cheese,
sausage.
And then I was like, no, I'm bringing the
James
boys meat.
That's my penis. No, that's the. There you go. You got the right.
So yeah. So don't take the penis.
I thought the sausage
the
was in your pants.
Sliced pieces.
I don't know why I assumed that.
I know. I carried the watermelon. Yes. So.
Oh, nice. And dirty Dancing reference.
That's my favorite reference from that movie.
I carried a watermelon.
Yeah. My favorite
because it is the best.
It's the most awkward entrance to any. If you go to a party, you just walk in like I carry the watermelon.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like Patrick Swayze was like, "What's she doing here?" And she had to come up with something,
right?
And what did she literally do? She brought the watermelon.
Yeah, that's it.
That answers the shit. I think it doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
It's don't put baby in the corner. That's what I learned from that.
No, that's an obvious one.
The best ones,
but
the best watermelon one lines is the watermelon line, and then that whole scene that somebody actually mocked when she's throwing her temper tantrum in front of her dad, who's my favorite actor, who I can't think of his name right now.
He just died.
And he's just sitting there, and he's got like a deadpan look on his face, and meanwhile, then he flashes back to her, and she's like, you don't understand me, and then goes back to him. He's just like, you know, it's just...
That's when he thinks that the... Johnny impregnated the other girl,
right. Yes.
But he didn't impregnate the other girl. No. He was just being a good friend.
Yeah.
And then from the asshole that he liked that was going to be a doctor and gave him the money at the end where he's like, oh, I'm taking my money back. Remember that?
Yeah, you're getting really excited about this.
I know, Dirty Dancing.
I know.
It's a great
well,
flex.
Yeah, you're sorry, a house full of girls, so I understand.
Yeah,
that.
I get all my cats are girls on my
Patrick so, Swayze. Yeah. Rest so, I did not bring cheese, and I normally bring cheese or Scooby snacks to you people, but I did not. I brought meat.
Can you pass me another one of those sausage? Just give me the whole plate.
Yeah,
all just
right.
Give me the whole plate.
So, Doralee's, you're known as the cheese lady of Sonoma County, which is not
that's
a title.
Exciting.
I mean, it's not a title that everyone gets. I'm eating sausage while I'm talking to you.
No, I know. That's really exciting.
That's kind of rude. James.
Sense of pride.
How
awesome.
Did you, you mentioned you went to culinary school. How did you get into cheese? How did you get to Sonoma County?
I was roofied in a bar.
Yeah, that was me.
And I ended up
by
in
James.
Hillsburg.
I was going to say, I had sausage in my mouth, but by James.
And also Adam was roofied because he had sausage in his mouth.
Yep. I went to culinary school in San Francisco. And I decided to stay there for a little bit and just learn all aspects of food, not just working in a restaurant. But I started in restaurants and then eventually ended up in a restaurant that the chef wanted to sort of offer a cheese program. And it was in the beginning of cheese sort of ending up on menus. It was way back, you know, people still were not really, didn't really know what to do with cheese or how to serve it or whatever. So I had a chef who was actually really... encouraged the idea that we would just play around and try different cheeses and put them on the bar and create like a happy hour program for cheese.
Well, nowadays
and
it's like cheese.
And now
so
it's
many.
Everywhere. But I it's at everywhere. That point there was like
and what
five.
Year is it? Give, tell us what
so
year this
that
is.
Was 97.
Okay, 97. I graduated from high school in 97.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, I was homecoming queen.
Oh. Mm.
No, I didn't. Wow. No, I wasn't.
You're very queenie.
I didn't even. Oh, you know what? I went to prom only because someone asked me to go.
What was his name?
Thug. No, I don't know. No, it was a chick.
it was a girl. I promise.
I went with a chick. Sorry, I swear. We were dating.
First of all, I want to apologize for saying chick because that's not. I can't say that anymore. But I'd like to say that. Yeah, sorry. I went with
it's
a
2018,
woman.
Man.
I was with a lady.
I don't think you're supposed to say that either.
Lady's bad?
No, that's bad. Yeah.
Or at least I want a ruling. Can I say lady?
I think you can say lady, or I can't say chick. Why can't you say
just
chick?
Just say anything else.
I was with a woman.
You can't say that either.
The vagina.
I was with
a vagina.
Vagina's good. We'll take vagina.
With a.
It's doctor correct. Sorry. Anyways, we're off the point.
Yeah.
We're talking about my homecoming. It
back to cheese.
All right, back to 1997 when you were just beginning your life.
Yes.
And I was part of this is my next life, right? So, yeah. I go to school, and then I'm working in restaurants, and then I work for a catering company, and then I'm getting pretty burnt out of being in that kind of scene. And I get a part-time job at Whole Foods in the cheese department in San Francisco, and that pretty much did it. Because then I just started meeting importers and distributors and purveyors and cheesemakers and working with this incredible budget.
But what is about cheese that like blew your lid? I mean,
well, to me, it was fascinating how old some of these recipes are. We were talking about selling cheese in this grocery store in San Francisco to super rich people, and the cheese dates back like 2,000 years, and they haven't interbred the herd. It's the same line, familial line within one herd of sheep in Sardinia. That to me was pretty amazing. So the stories around cheese was really kind of what got me.
Well, I remember when you first came into Cyrus and Erica, Erica.
Yeah.
So she, I think it was my first week training and you came in and she's like, oh, that's the cheese lady. And I was like, oh, the cheese lady. Okay. And I just see you pull out of your pocket a little Scooby snack, as you call them, and sit down on the bar. It was like, I don't remember what it was, Brie or something, but it was awesome. I was like, oh, this girl brings this cheese.
Yeah.
So in my head, I immediately was like, I'm going to take care of her every time she's here because I want
to take care of her. I bring you Scooby snacks because then all bartenders and cooks take care of me.
Yeah.
That's how this works. I give you something, then you take care of me. It's
good.
Great.
It's good to be friends with bartenders and chefs.
Yeah. So yeah, I moved up here because I, the year that I, destroyed my left leg and my wrist and all of that. I had to convalesce somewhere, and my dad actually had that property on West Dry Creek, and that was just the vineyard property where he sold all the grapes and nobody lived there. But then when I fell, I was living in San Francisco in one of the captain's homes in the Presidio, and I couldn't walk it up and downstairs. I was basically in traction in a bed for a while. So I randomly ended up convalescing in Healdsburg and got to know Healdsburg, and then I met the woman, Susan Wall Rabenstein, who had been running a shop in Healdsburg. It was a cheese shop, but she was pretty bitter. She was exhausted. She was working here. She didn't really have any family here. She had very little friends. She was going through a really crappy divorce, and she wanted to sell her store. And I blame the Norco I was on because I signed that lease while I was on crutches recouping from this accident.
You hear her first, Dorleys has been on drugs.
So I was like, oh, I just
none of our
bought
listeners or people in this room have ever been on drugs.
No,
right.
Never.
You have no idea. So I was like, huh, I think I just bought a store in Healdsburg. So that's how I got to Healdsburg.
You started to come to a little bit. You're like, did I buy a store?
Oh my God, did I just buy a store?
So retail space in Healdsburg is not like anywhere else in the world.
No, and Healdsburg is a teeny, speaking of, Dorleys lives.
Tell people where Healdsburg is.
Healdsburg is
a
tiny little town that is in the center of four very popular and famous wine growing valleys. And this town is reminiscent of Bordeaux and other small towns. Bordeaux is, of course, a large town now, but a lot of the small wine towns in Europe are surrounded by these valleys, and you wouldn't really go there unless you were going there for wine or something that was clearly drawing you here. So Healdsburg is a really small town that's sort of going through maybe a split personality, because it was a farming town, but only for stone fruit, for prunes, which is why it was called the Prune Belt.
Yep.
And it was in this area that was not known for grapes or wine grapes specifically. And it was known for the redwoods and the fishing and mining, but definitely not grapes.
And, you want to hear a funny story?
And this little town, Podunk Town, that's, yeah, I mean, people now come here because PR. But
so a lot of the hotels that were built in Healdsburg, I'm isolating everyone who doesn't run Healdsburg, California, which is a wine mecca place, just like Napa, basically, but it's smaller. So a lot of the hotels were built in Healdsburg because they assumed that Lake Sonoma was going to be a gigantic draw for tourism. So they all built their hotels.
They fucked up.
Right. Well, they also
Lake Sonoma was going to be the spot. Everyone, like a Lake Tahoe. They all built based on that.
But they never built out the lake. They just dammed up the water and dried up the valley and then made this lake that was basically not going to be used by anybody.
Last time I bought meth was at Lake Sonoma.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. That's not. I've never bought meth. Come on.
Meth or math?
It's
math
free.
Or meth?
Meth.
Math.
It's meth.
Math.
He brings up meth a lot.
M-A-T-H. Well, there's a lot. You have to know meth.
You know how you're the cheese lady? He's like the meth guy. So it's like known around.
Math guy.
Yeah.
My daughters are listening.
Oh,
but
sorry.
You need to.
I don't have daughters.
You need to know meth
daughter.
So that you can survive here, because a lot of the bodies that are dumped here, you need to know where they came from.
You got to find them.
Fucking A.
Right.
All right, Dorlise, so you got any bar stories?
I have many.
I want to hear your best one, because we've been you've been an ample amount of information, and I want to know more.
I know
she's got a couple.
I want to hear your best.
Lady. Well, so then I was talking about to Adam about the fact that I ran the store for 13 years, and so I have a lot of hilarious customer stories. But I did a lot of that venting, and that's not necessarily this at all. But a lot of people would come in, and they would vent to me, and then I would go and see them in bars, but. That's not what this is about. This is about the fact that I'm a really good barfly.
And okay.
I drink.
So set the scene.
I typically drink alone. You know, I go to bars and I sit on the stool, and I'm usually there because I'm visiting the bartender. I'm not there to. I don't go up with like a bunch of girlfriends to a bar. That's just not my deal, because I like to sit there and people watch. It's one of my favoriteest activities in all of the land. I love people watching, so I get to see a lot of really hilarious things happening. So I was discussing on my adorable little notepad that one of my favorite things that people do, I have a really favorite bartender in Healdsburg. I mean, I have lots of favorite bartenders, but I have one who, he's just a bad ear hustler. So he doesn't know how to just listen to his clients when they're talking amongst themselves after they've gotten their drink. He typically snorts or laughs, because he's literally listening to exactly what they're saying. And sometimes he'll even say something to them, which clearly catches them off guard. But I love that. I love that. Because it freaks out the people that are sitting there. So that just is one kind of fun thing about being at a bar solo. And then I was discussing that I had the date. I could talk about the date.
Talk about the date. I'm actually really excited
because I started thinking about what am I going to talk about? Because I know all these bartenders who have these great stories, but I can't steal their stories because it's their stories. They have to tell their stories. But one of my favorite bartenders is Stephen Maduro at Duke's, and Steve has some pretty funny stories. But Steve is also like my wingman. So I will meet guys that I'm going to date or meet them from the interwebs, because that's the only way I can date at this point, because I'm not meeting anybody. So there it is.
That's how everybody's doing it these
days.
That's
how everybody's doing it. So I meet this guy, and he seems like a really great guy. And I'm like, well, real time is totally different from the interweb. You can be anybody you want to be online, but then you have to meet them in person, and they change. So this guy was really excited. He's from Santa Rosa, and he wanted to meet me and buy me a beer. Great. Well, why don't you come to Healdsburg, and I'll meet you at Duke's, because... And then I tell Steven, I'm like, you're going to be my wingman. This guy's going to come in, and you need to vet him. And then we'll probably have our strange, awkward drink, and then he'll leave. And then you tell me whether I should pursue this or not. And he's done this many times for me.
But this time.
So this time, this is last year, or early this year, actually. No, last year. Sorry, last year. And he... the guy says, well, I'll come up from Santa Rosa and I'll meet you for a drink. Great. And he'd sent me a picture of him. Of course, I'd seen the picture that he had on his profile.
And what'd you think?
Hot. So hot. Tall, Asian or Pacific Islander, made me very happy. I was like, oh, yeah, he's cute.
Well, hello.
Hello. How you doing? So I'm expecting to see this guy, Jason, and that's exciting. Great. This is the first time like I have, we talked on the phone, so I'd already heard his voice, so he couldn't really fake it and put his friend on the phone because that's happened. So I'm sitting there at the bar and Stephen's like, there's nobody in there. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And then suddenly this guy walks in who's looking a little bewildered. And I look over and Stephen's like, you know, looking at me. And then the guy sees me because, of course, he recognizes my face. And so he comes over and he's like, Dorlees? And I was like, yes. He's like, I'm Jason. I'm like, you're not Jason. Because what was standing in front of me was he was probably 4'9". The picture probably was of like a guy who was like 6'1". And he's not Asian. He's Mexican.
It wasn't the guy. What did he think was going to happen? Like when he got there,
I don't understand what happens. What goes through your mind?
I got
as
my
men.
Hair cut. I look just, a little different.
Okay. Wait. Settle down. So, what's your first? Wait. Give me your first. Give me what you said.
He's probably. He's like, no, I'm Jason. I'm like, I'm sorry, but, and then I literally grabbed my phone and I showed him the picture he texted me and I was like,
this is not you.
And he's like, well, I mean, okay. And then he sits down and
he admits to not.
Well, he's like, well, I don't understand. I don't know why you're getting upset with me. And I'm like, I'm upset because you're clearly a Latino and you're probably not named Jason. And this is not you. You're not the same. And so meanwhile, then I look beyond me and Stephen is all the way at the far end of the back of the bar. And he's looking at me. He's like, that's not him. That's not him. He's just like shaking his head. He's like, don't sit. Don't get a beer. And of course, I'm already drinking a beer. So, and he looks at me. He's like, well, I understand what the big problem is. Why are you making such a big deal out of it? I'm like, I'm making a big deal out of it because you're Mexican and this guy's Asian. And what are you trying to tell me? Do you want to be that guy? Is that why you sent me the picture?
Wow.
And he's like, well, I just figured that that's what you wanted to see. I'm like, I don't know how to answer that.
That is so
first
wild.
First of all, that guy does not know you and what you're into. And
exactly. Yeah. How does he know that that's what you wanted to see?
Like, I thought that's what you wanted.
But then I started to look at the picture. I was like, is this like a stock photo? Like, did he just go on the internet?
Oh, my God.
Because it was totally different picture. And I'm like,
Google
do you know that?
If you Google Asian guy, you're probably going to get that shot.
I'm probably going to get that shot.
But that's totally strange.
That's
like,
so funny.
First of all, like, if I was going to Google.
I would just be like, if that guy showed up, I would just be like, what the fuck?
Well, that's what I was like. How does he know my name? And he's like, hey, I'm Jason. I'm like, no, you're not Jason.
No, you're not Jason.
So,
that's not Jason.
So then did you guys get married?
The story goes on, man,
because he wouldn't leave. So then he's verklempt. He doesn't know what to do. And now he's feeling hurt because I'm calling him. And I was like, I said, are you Mexican? And he's like, well, yes, I am. And I'm like, why would you just say that to me? Why would you just tell me that you're Mexican? Why don't you just take a picture of yourself? And I said, this is clearly not a picture of you when you were young because you were this totally different facial structure and everything, and height.
So was he ugly?
No, he was a nice looking guy, but it was just
But he's a fucking
But
creeper.
He's a liar.
Which is a totally different
he's a
person.
Creeper.
Fucking liar.
So then I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. He's like, well, so we're not going to make out?
And make out?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
So then I was like, no, we're not making out.
This guy is like creep meter.
If you want to do something, you can sit down here and catch a breath and have a beer and collect yourself and then decide you probably aren't ready to date anybody until you can. Don't you have friends?
Well, that was very nice of you.
But I was like, because I was like, well, I'm still having my drink and it's awkward. And now this guy is going to feel awkward too. But it was just a strange thing. And then when he left, Steven's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
That was not him at all. And I'm like, that's why you're my weak
man. That's what I was thinking of my role. Like if you were at my bar, what would I do? And I'd be like, what the fuck was that?
That was exactly it.
I'm going to start with this. What the fuck was that?
What the fuck was that?
Who is that?
Yeah.
That is so funny.
But that's the date that never was because, and then
the
it was
the date that never
yeah,
was.
The date that never was.
I just want to put. They said we're not gonna make out.
Yeah,
we're not gonna make out.
Wait, bro, listen, we're not gonna make out.
I'm old. I'm almost 40, and I'm like make out. I don't.
Well, and it was also just hilarious that he still had was not, he did not see the problem with the picture. And I kept looking like, but this is, you keep, I kept showing him like, this is not you. I'm like, this is not you.
Quite simply, sir, this is not you.
Do you envy being Asian? Is that what's going on here? Because that's amazing. No, who does that? Never.
No, don't do that. The lesson is don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay. Anyway, back to reality here a little bit.
Reality?
I do want to talk a little bit about some of the benefit work that you do, or the charity work, is lack of a better word.
So yeah, I work with a homeless organization in Healdsburg called Reach for Home, which is a nonprofit. It's one of the smallest nonprofits that's actually trying to help rehouse a good percentage of the homeless population. And the homeless is not just chronic homeless people that have been on the street for more than 2 years, but people that were evicted during the housing crisis, people from the Lake County fires, now all the people from the firestorm. So there's just a lot of people that are now displaced, have no place to live, and or some other catalyst has sort of brought them to this point where they don't have anything. And because we have such a housing shortage, now we've tried to figure out programs that are successful. So our most successful program right now is raising money so that we can buy houses. And then we manage the houses and fill the houses with the families.
That's
so
awesome.
It's the alternative to trying to depend on a county that is so overwhelmed and they don't even know where to begin to help people. And towns like Healdsburg that are super rich, there's so much money in this area. We are a very rich county.
No doubt about it.
And it's just a clusterfuck. There's no other way of explaining it. There's, for some reason, the funding is locked up in either a political problem. And homeless is the lowest on the poll. Nobody wants to help homelessness because people have such, you know, a jaded perspective of what a homeless person is, and that people are homeless because they deserve to be because they made a poor choice in their life. And that's really a horrible way of looking at humanity, that these people, it's their fault for being where they are. Granted, there's a lot of people that are homeless that will never be out of the cold because they did do things or they won't try to help themselves. And we're not there to help them. We are literally only helping the people that want to help themselves. So I work with Reach for Home doing that and doing a ton of fundraising. And I'm still very proud of the dance-a-thon that I threw last year at Duke's.
Was that you, the dance-a-thon?
Yeah.
Okay.
We raised that night $12,000.
That's
so
fucking awesome.
That went towards a house that we just bought in Cloverdale, and we have two families in that house. And so now we're just trying to do that again. And we have actually convinced a couple of other people that want to buy houses or own houses to lease them to us so that we basically become... We manage the houses and the rentals, and we pay the landlords and the owners of the houses, and then we get to house people. And sometimes it's, you know, an individual or a mother child, or, you know, and a lot of them are people that are employed, that have been employed and have lived in this area. A lot of them have, you know, kids that are dreamers, and, you know, but they've lived here for 40 years and they don't have their papers, but we take care of them because we need them, because they've been working for 25 years for one winery, or for, you know, they've been here. They need to be here. You can't just kick them out. So
100%.
So that's kind of with Reach for Home. And then with the fires, that was just a whole other mess because, oh, hello. That's the guy, Jason. No.
Oh, yeah, there he is. Texting again.
But the firestorm was really crazy too, because then we lost all these people and I had to help them and still helping them.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that constantly, just helping different families try to stay afloat so they don't slip through the cracks, because that's going to happen. We live in a very expensive area, and it's expensive for people that have families and the capability to save themselves. Like we are all going to be fine because we have people that are looking out for us. And if we lose our jobs, we can and are able to move out of this area. We just choose to be here. So,
Napa fires thing, I mean, that was just such a scary time. I mean,
yeah, we had 5 fires at the same time.
Insane.
And that was insane. There's no place for anybody to hide or go. And we don't have emergency shelters here because we never thought that this would happen, which is a really, again, lack of foresight.
Yeah.
We
need to figure that shit out.
It was the Napa Sonoma fire. I just want to point out that it was the Napa Sonoma fire.
Good point.
So there's the Atlas fire, and then there's the Pocket fire. And there's the Patrick Fire.
The Tubbs Fire. It was like two streets up from me.
And there was the pocket fire that's just out the window of this
right there on the hill.
Right. And then there's the Tubbs Fire that became the Nuns Fire, and those became an even larger fire. It's just, it's crazy. And the Patrick was harmless until it didn't, and then it became part of Nuns Tubbs. I mean, that all those were going at the same time in a period of, 2 days?
Oh, my God. All at once,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really amazing what you're doing and helping everyone, and hats off to you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Your story was pretty fucking hilarious.
I Dorlees, high five. I literally, I'm on cheers. Cheers.
Listeners, we also have some beers here we didn't tell anyone about.
Cheers, cheers. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Wait, that's not a good send off.
No.
I was like,
this is listening. Dorlees, where can we find you?
In town. stalking your house.
I know the bars I can find you.
You can find me in bars. I do my work out of Relish Culinary in Healdsburg, so that's where I sell all my cheeses out of and prep all my cheeses, and then I work with all the different wineries selling the cheese.
I want some of the
cheese. So if you need Scooby Snacks, that's where, the home of the Scooby Snack. And then I still do cheese programs for restaurants and consulting and all of that, so... You can still find me that way, too. Yeah.
Adam, where are we going to find you?
You can find me at the Geyserville Gun Club Bar and Lounge. I'm always there. Come on down, get a drink, say hi.
Cool. You can find me, James, at Everything We're on Zimmel Podcast. And I'll be there talking about stuff. You love it. All right.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Bye.
Today's show is proudly sponsored by the Disc Golf Podcast. You can find them anywhere podcasts are available. If you're into this stoner sport, these are your go-to guys for all that information. I trust no one, Adam, but the Disc Golf Podcast for all my disc golf news. Adam, I've been searching the internet for places to sit, but not quite indoors. What do I do?
Well, it's funny you say that, James. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Seats of the Streets. If you ever find a lonely seat with no home, snap a pic and hashtag Seats of the Streets.
And where do I find that? At Instagram? Facebook? Where do I go?
Instagram is the home of Seats of the Streets.